Welcome to the Voice of One Witness radio broadcast hosted by Billy Brim Ministries. Up next is the audiobook by Dr. Billy Brim, The Blood and the Glory, read by her daughter Shelley Brim. This classic teaching will guide you to discover the truth about the blood of Jesus and the glory of God. Stay tuned to the end of our broadcast to find out more on Billy Brim Ministries' next authority conference hosted near Tulsa, Oklahoma, April 27th through the 29th. This is a free special Tulsa, Oklahoma event. For more information, visit billybrim.org or call 417-336-4877.
For I had been on more than a 20-year-long Holy Spirit-led study of the glory of God. The revelation of God's glory manifested in His church became the central theme of my ministry and the yearning of my heart. The church the Lord Jesus Christ comes to receive into Himself will not be a downtrodden, backslidden, weakened church, but will be filled with the glory of God. Ephesians chapter 5, 27. I heard faithful men and women of God prophesy about it through those years. Reoccurring themes in the prophecies which so thrilled me spoke of signs, wonders, miracles, and even translations. I heard through the lips of more than one proven prophet that even the faces of believers will be so changed they will shine with the glory of God as His presence fills His temple. Through these 20 years, the Lord called me and caused me to witness prophecy-fulfilling world events. We began to travel and minister in the Soviet Union in 1980. The ministry has covered the gamut of running from the KGB down dark alleys and across railroad tracks to preaching openly in front of the former National Museum of Atheism after the collapse of communism. In 1986, after my husband moved to heaven, I studied Hebrew in Israel. Since then, I returned to the land, usually twice a year, and have spent much time there in the unique doors God has opened to watch the fig tree, Israel, close at hand. Many of the miraculously returned Jews, who are the sign of the soon return of the Lord, are my close friends. As a student of Bible prophecy, I saw signs in the nations, in the Jews, and in the church that now is the time. It is time for the glory of God to be poured out upon and manifested through the church. And I was watching for it closely when I saw something else. Satanic attacks. I saw what seemed to be an increase in satanic attacks. All were terrible. Some were inexplicable. Strife struck between brethren who had preached the same message for years. Homes were broken when lives we thought were dedicated to the ministry of the Lord succumbed to sin and its consequences. But the inexplicable cases especially drew me to seek an answer. No place giving sin was involved. Innocent lives were lost to earth's realm when drunk drivers out of nowhere hit vehicles carrying God's faithful servants. Freak accidents in two cases struck the host ministry's families just before large meetings. I sought the Lord about it. He answered me with a question. You preach about the last days and the signs of the times, do you not? Yes. What did I tell you the devil would do in the last days? I knew where to look. So I turned to Revelation chapter 12, verse 12, and read, The devil is come down unto you, having great wrath, because he knoweth that he hath but a short time. In my Bible I had written in the margin, that the Greek word translated time is kairos, which means a limited and definite portion of time, a set time. I thought first about the set time of Adam's lease. After God finished his six-day work week, he handed the authority on earth to Adam. Some Bible scholars believe God gave Adam a corresponding six-day lease to work upon earth, with 1,000 years as a day. Adam, however, committed high treason and delivered his authority to Satan. He legally, but not morally, sublet his domain to Satan, who became the god of this world. Luke 4:6, 2 Corinthians 4:4. When the set time of Adam's lease is over, Satan will be evicted and sent to the pit. Satan knows about time. When Jesus was on earth, demons asked him, "Art thou come hither to torment us before the time?" Matthew 8:29. The time. I saw it. This has to do with the time. Satan's lease is about up, and he's ferociously defying the prophecy of his doom. Then I heard, back up a verse. So I read Revelation 12:11. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. The blood of Jesus. Rushing in upon me came Holy Spirit-guided thoughts concerning the blood of Jesus and the primary weapon it is for the final hour of this age. Chapter 2. Remembering, using the name and the blood to bring up children. My thoughts traveled back to 1967 when I was baptized in the Holy Spirit. For it was soon after that life-changing event that I first heard about using the blood of Jesus to overcome the devil. Extreme hunger for the Word of God consumed me. In one of the seminars I attended, I heard the minister say, "I always say it like this. I say, in the name of Jesus, I plead the blood of Jesus." I remembered how those welcomed words penetrated my heart as a young mother of four. And I remembered how we use them to bring up our children without tragedy. Several incidents come to my mind. Chip, our youngest, could be described as all boy, including almost everything that description usually brings to mind. Athletic, fun-loving, and so on. I was particularly thankful for the right to use the blood of Jesus when Chip, as a teen driver, left the house in his car. Things would transpire something like this. Chip, usually in a hurry to get to practice or a game or somewhere, would dutifully stand while I put my right hand on top of his curly black hair and said, "In the name of Jesus, I apply the blood of Jesus over Chip." Sometimes I walked out to the car and put my hands on it, and sometimes I just added these words in the kitchen with my hand on his head. "In the name of Jesus, I apply the blood of Jesus over Chip's car, bumper to bumper, side to side, top to bottom, every working part. Chip will go and come home safe." Once this people-loving teenager invited several members of his high school football team to the house to cook hamburgers. As they prepared to leave, I decided not to embarrass Chip. I would wait till they left and then make my confession of God's provision in Jesus' blood. Chip got into his car loaded with friends, then got out of it and came back into the kitchen and asked in a somewhat demanding tone, "What kind of a mother are you? Are you going to let me go without the blood of Jesus on me?" Later, when he was in college, an interesting thing happened. Chip and three friends decided to rent a house their second year rather than to live in the dorm. Early one morning, my telephone rang. At first, I didn't recognize the high-pitched, distorted voices. "Mom! Mrs. Brim!" they squeaked excitedly. I figured out it was Chip and his basketball player friend, Conley. They told me their scary story. The double-wide mobile home they rented was far out in the country. The first day, when the boys arrived home from school in one car, they noticed strange things. The doors and windows were open. Hair dryers and toasters were on. The television and stereos were blasting. They thought it was someone playing a joke. But when they checked with the owner, but no one else had a key. For several days thereafter, when they came home, the same things were happening. And then came the eventful night before they called me. Chip was in his bedroom studying. Everyone else was in bed. He heard the front door slam hard. The whole mobile home shook. He got up to investigate. Then the door to Conley's room opened wide and slammed closed. Chip asked Matt, who slept on the living room couch, "Did you see that?"
"Yes."
"What was it?" At that, Conley's door opened and slammed again. Then Chip and Matt saw a dark figure go out the front door, which opened and slammed shut. Matt and Chip ran to Chip's room, where they both spent the rest of the night in his twin bed. They promised never to tell anyone what they saw. Rising unusually early, Conley said to Chip, "I've got to talk to you about last night." Conley and Chip grew up together. Conley's parents were spirit-filled Christians, too. Chip told me when we discussed this for the book, however, that they were not living for God as they knew to at the time. Robert evidently had heard it too, for he asked, "What was all that?" Conley said, "Something came into my room and stood over my bed. It was hooded and carried a scythe like the Grim Reaper. I thought he came to tell me I'm going to die." Matt cried out, "Oh my God!" With that, the four boys took off running down the road toward a little store a mile away, where they called me from the payphone. Such cases are low-level devils. They can only frighten, but this one has succeeded fairly well. For I'm certain those macho athletic types would not have wanted the girls on campus to observe their shaking and squeaking. "It's just low-level devils," I assured them. I gave them scriptures and told them how to cast out the devils. Then I instructed them further. "Do you have any oil? Demons don't have to use windows and doors. But as a point of contact for your faith, and as a symbol of entry into your house, anoint all the doors and windows with this oil and say, 'In the name of Jesus, we apply the blood of Jesus. Demons, you cannot enter our house.'" The boys chipped in and bought oil at the store. Then they went back to the house, which they vowed on the way to the store they would never again enter, and carried out the instructions in detail. They had no further trouble. And as a result of the evident power of God over the power of the devil, the boys started going to church. Our older son, Terry, had a similar incident his senior year at Panhandle State University in far western Oklahoma.
Thank you for listening to the Voice of One Witness radio broadcast hosted by Billy Brim Ministries. What you just heard was from Dr. Billy Brim's audiobook, The Blood and the Glory, read by her daughter, Shelley Brim. Live near Tulsa, Oklahoma, April 27th through the 29th. Join Dr. Billy Brim for our authority conference at our home church in a glorious church fellowship. Save the dates and make your plans now to join the upcoming authority conference near Tulsa, April 27th through the 29th. Joining Dr. Billy Brim in these powerful meetings will be Chip and Shelley Brim. For more information about the Tulsa Area Authority Conference, visit billybrim.org or call 417-336-4877.